Hour number three of our radio program. Hey, Santa, I'm going to need you to get me this audio. It's a headline and awful announcing. And just because there's a headline there doesn't mean that it actually portrays the clip, but I can't imagine this one be wrong. Keyshawn Johnson thinks the Pacers, this is the headline awful announcing right now, who won a game 7 at MSG last year, would be intimidated playing in New York. I got to hear how it sounded and if Keyshawn Johnson had any clue that the Pacers beat the Knicks last year in the playoffs. So let's pull that. We'll play that at some point. By the way, Stu, we're going to do a lot of football right here in this segment because it is schedule release day. Even though I love this day, but I hate this day. Because the schedule comes out at 8 p.m. Eastern time, right? I have a packet right here of the games that were already leaked. And this packet was printed out, at 3 o'clock? So this could change.
There's probably more that could be added, technically.
5 pages already. And the font is not huge, so it'd probably be more like 12 or 13 pages if we had it in regular font of the NFL schedule. Just stupid. It's like, release the thing at 8. I love Art Stapleton, right? He's a great reporter. Art is a friend. I like Art. And this guy gets a schedule every freaking year. And I think I know how Art gets a schedule. I think I know. I'm not going to say it on the air. And Art and I have never talked about this. But I think there is a person that leaks that schedule to Art. And Stu, you may know that person too. I'm not going to tell you who the person is on the air. But I think that's how Art gets a schedule each and every year. But it's amazing. Not only Art, every team's beat reporter gets the schedule every single year. And you know what your schedule is before the thing is announced at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But yeah, I would love to hear this audio later on of Keyshawn Johnson, I guess, said the Pacers are going to be intimidated by the New York environment when they literally won a playoff series there last year. But Stu, I have a question for you before we get to the football.
Sure.
What is the soccer that you're watching today?
Oh, so today it's the
What were you watching last year? Last week?
Last week?
Last week, yeah.
Champions League. Sorry, yeah, it's Champions League. That was the Champions League semifinals.
Did they crown a champion?
No, that final is in two weekends.
2 weeks? Wait.
Or 3 weekends. Yeah, it's
the. They went to the semifinal last week. Who are the two winners of that?
That would be PSG was the one side and Inter Milan was the other side.
And one beat FC Barcelona, right?
Yes, Inter Milan beat FC Barcelona.
Okay. So they have two and a half weeks off?
Yeah, because they're still playing their domestic, league games that are ending very soon.
And what is this today that you guys are slobbering over?
This one's the Coppa Italia final. This is the NBA Cup version of Italy's league. They do a in-season tournament.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is separate from champion. This is totally separate.
Can I ask maybe a stupid question?
None of these questions are stupid,
Zach. No, it may be. There's a new soccer event on every day that you guys watch where it's not under the same umbrella. And I'll be honest, I don't watch soccer outside of the World Cup. I like the World Cup. But do you know all these teams and all these or a good amount of these players to have any idea of what the who's playing right now?
So it was Bologna and AC Milan. Bologna just won.
I want a bologna sandwich, honestly. Kind of hungry. A little bologna and cheese would be good for dinner tonight.
I'll be honest, this one is just one I put on just to have something on. It's not something that I'm glued to and dying by every kick, but yeah, I know somebody. I mean, AC Milan's a bigger club. I know a lot of their players, but
Santer, yeah. do you know the majority of these teams and the players when Stu turns the stuff on?
Stu knows way more about soccer than I do, but I really latched on to Wrexham as well, so I've been following a lot of the lower
Suck up
leagues.
Spot here. That's the people that send you stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, not just that. It's I enjoy the show. I love Rob McElhenney from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I love Ryan Reynolds from Deadpool. So right now on the computer, I have Paramount Plus up, and we have Leyton Orient against Stockport, which they're in.
Wait. You got who?
Leyton Orient versus Stockport. And they're both in.
Where the heck is that?
Exactly. They're in League One, okay? And they're in the.
What was the first team?
Leyton Orient.
You could give me 400 guesses. I don't think I would. Where do they play?
In Leyton Orient.
Where is that?
I mean, this is all England, so I don't know where Leyton Orient is, but it is a let's see, they are from Waltham Forest near London. Okay.
Near London. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, near London. So that's basically it. So basically they're playing right now in the playoff, and this is the semifinal. The winner goes to the final, and the winner of that final moves up to the championship, which is where Wrexham is moving up to.
I don't understand
So the winner of this gets the chance to play for promotion.
You know what? It's amazing. I used to think the most lost I've ever been in my life was in eighth grade earth science. Trying to follow soccer is the most confusing thing ever. Every day I find out about a new team, a new league, a new Fugazi tournament, then an actual real tournament. It's 365 too.
It's 365.
It's too much.
Like, we joke that the NFL is a year-round thing because of the draft and the combine.
Yeah, but there's a good amount of games, a proper amount.
Yeah.
It's not every day something's in you know, getting shoved down your throat here.
You get soccer basically Monday through Friday, 365 days a year. Basically, for the most part. There's like a month off here or there.
But they don't discriminate on the weekends, right? They play on the weekends, right?
Yeah, no, Saturdays and Sundays are their two big days.
You said Monday through Friday, 365 days.
I'm sorry, Monday through Sunday.
I was like, they're not playing Saturday and Sunday? So what are we doing here?
And this year we're going to get more than we normally get because we have the Club World Cup coming here to the U.S.
Oh.
And then next year is the World Cup, which is amazing. This is the first Club World Cup.
What's coming to the U.S.?
The Club World Cup.
Is that the guy that I talked to at the Super Bowl?
Is that part
of that?
Yes.
So that's the Club World Cup.
The Club World Cup are the best individual teams from different leagues around the world.
When is the World Cup next out?
Next year, 2026, also in the U.S.
They're both
in the U.S. The Club World Cup and the World Cup are going to be in the U.S.
At the same time?
2025 for the Club World Cup, 2026 for the World Cup.
And do you guys care about the Club World Cup?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because it's the best.
I'm just asking.
So as much as we like watching the Champions League, which is the best teams in Europe playing each other, this is going to be the best teams from Europe, Africa, Asia, South America, North America, all playing each other to determine who's the best club in all the world. This is the first time it's ever happened. I am going to be glued to the television. Stu and I are going to be screaming and yelling for days on end.
We're going to outlaw that.
I'm actually probably more into this than I'm going to be into the World Cup.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The U.S. is going to
be
good.
That's a hot take. That's a hanky take.
I always love rooting for England, but the Club World Cup, I'm going to be so. And plus, Messi and Miami is going to be in it because they're hosting.
And what time of the year is that?
It's coming up, I think, in June.
Yeah, it's like middle late June.
Good. I'll take some vacation there. Last thing I need is you two. Just.
But to Samter's point, this season ends like the end of May, and then the Club World Cup is in June.
Doesn't that take away from the World Cup?
Well, the World Cup's next summer.
Okay.
But then, so that's going to take place in June, early July, and then the next season starts mid-August. So there's like no off-season.
This is too much.
So the Club World Cup starts exactly a month from today, Saturday, June 14th in Miami. You got Inter Miami hosting Al Ahly from, I guess that's maybe a Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but it's a Saudi.
Yeah, some of the Saudi teams have gotten pretty good.
Okay. Whatever floats your guys' boat.
It's going to be awesome.
I've never been more lost in 8 minutes
of radio
in my life. In the dog
days of summer when you're in game 103 of the baseball season that no one cares about, this is going to be taking it over.
Yeah.
NBA playoffs should be over by now.
The NBA playoffs shouldn't be over by now.
June 14th?
They should. Oh, you're saying by then?
Yeah, by then.
If there's a game 7, maybe it's maybe a week longer. Yeah.
And this thing is going to last for like about 3 weeks or so. It's going to be awesome.
Soccer's like ranch to me. Serious. That's what it's like. Football's like blue cheese. That's how I would describe it. Now let's get to some football because I just did 9 minutes on the Fugazi football.
We just did football.
Now we got to get to the real football. The NFL schedule leaks. So here's what I got so far. Now we trusted Greg with this task. That's what we did, Samter. So you're just, training people and you just hand it off the paper of the work that I asked you to do.
Well, he was actually busy sending some tweets and texts, so I couldn't fully trust him. No, so I went through and I highlighted a bunch of games, and then I said, hey, Greg, how about you look over my work and see if there's anything that I missed? And he went through and found 5 or 6 games, one that I thought was really interesting that I didn't even think about, and he had a really good angle for it.
So what I'm looking here is the blue highlight, and then what is the star of the games that Greg thinks are really important.
Yeah, so So the blue highlights with the stars are the ones that Greg highlighted, and then I just kind of put a blue highlighter over it. So the ones with the stars are the ones that Greg added to my list.
Oh, okay.
They're not extra special. They're just the ones that Greg added.
So the stars are the ones that you missed.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right, so good checks and balances. You know, that's actually a good teaching lesson.
Yeah.
That's good. No, I'm good with that. I thought if we just gave the list blindly to Greg and said come up with the games, then I'd be a little bit concerned.
No, I asked him, how well do you know the NFL? He goes, I know the NFL better than anybody else around here. And I'm like, all right.
Well, that's just not true.
Let's see about that, buddy. And he did a decent job.
Greg is a passionate football fan. Greg is a somewhat smart sports fan, but he don't know more about the NFL.
He's not that smart of a sports fan. He tried to convince me about Ben Simmons a couple years ago while we were eating tomahawk steaks.
Oh, my God.
That was not a good take by Mr. Greg over here.
That is right. And he was like spitting all over the table. And
and I are enjoying a gigantic 70-ounce tomahawk steak.
And he picked up the bone and started eating off the meat right off the bone of our scraps afterwards.
He's a rabid animal over here.
It was crazy. It was wild. All right. Cowboys-Eagles start off the football season that Thursday night. I don't like Greg, do me a favor. Put Greg on the mic on Stu's microphone real quickly. We don't need to put him on camera. We don't want to scare anyone that's watching on the YouTube stream.
Face for radio.
No, I'm just teasing. I'm being a jackass. Do you like the Cowboys week one?
No. It's like giving the Cowboys too much credit and publicity, right? Like, they've been so mid.
Well, at least they'll be able to see a Super Bowl banner.
Yeah, that's
true. Don't have cobwebs on it.
I would have gone with the Rams because it was such a good playoff game.
That's fine. I would have, Rams, you know, would have been more than fine with me. Who else? I know we talked about this yesterday.
Lions.
Yeah, Lions would have been good.
Commanders.
Even the Commanders at NFC Championship game rematch.
Exactly.
The Cowboys, to me, all right, whatever. I don't need to see the Cowboys to kick off a season. All righty. Friday, you have the Chiefs and the Chargers in Brazil. All right, that's interesting. Little statement moment to start off the year for Harbaugh and Herbert. Steelers and Jets. Oh, that's Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I don't know how much national appeal that game is.
If Rodgers is starting for the Steelers.
Can I finish the sentence?
Okay.
Can I finish the damn freaking sentence?
I just wanted to make sure you understood my mindset
when I
highlighted
that. Yes, obviously, if Mason Rudolph is the quarterback for the Steelers, no one cares about that game. But even with Rodgers going up against the Jets, is that a big deal that Rodgers is going up against his former team that he played there for a season? Why? Because Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji did the right thing and told him no? That being a 1 p.m. Eastern time game, they know Rodgers is going to be on the Steelers. It shows you that they don't think that is that big of a deal.
But you also know that the lead up to that week on McAfee, there's going to be a lot of fun on the way in and the way out of Rodgers talking junk about Aaron Glenn and the Jets.
I guess.
Billboard material.
Yeah. Yeah. The Titans and the Broncos. We highlighted that game. What for? Cam Ward, Bo Nix. Is that why?
It was. So that one I didn't initially have. You can see there's a star next to it. Greg added it, and I figured, you know what? Yes, it's the number one overall pick. First game, sure, let's throw it on.
He was
there.
The number one overall pick? Cam Ward?
I believe so.
Oh, if you were watching the draft coverage, they didn't even acknowledge him. It was just, Shedeur Sanders didn't go.
They didn't even mention him. They were talking about the trade before while
and
he was walking up on
the
stage.
And it's one of the great stories ever.
Unbelievable.
Zero-star recruit, Incarnate Word. I didn't know where that was until I was driving around with Stu in San Antonio and we saw a sign that said Incarnate Word, and I interviewed Cam Ward. And Washington State and then also Miami, Heisman Trophy finalist, number one overall pick. Ravens and Bills, that's Sunday night football on NBC, to open up the season, phenomenal. I like that. Week two, Eagles and Chiefs, a Super Bowl rematch in week two. And also, do the Eagles only play the Chiefs in Kansas City?
I saw a note about this.
Is that the third straight year? Because they played him on the rematch when Sirianni walked up
game.
The field.
Did
they play him last year in the regular season?
No. They played him in Philly in 2021, though. So they've been bumping into him a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's at least then back-to-back years, I guess, of them in Kansas City. I thought it was three straight.
Two out of three. 23 and 25 seasons. They didn't play the regular season last year.
Oh, sorry. So back-to-back times where they played in Kansas City. All righty. Let's keep that moving. Super Bowl rematch, though, week two. Yeah, you can put big game early on the season. I thought they'd maybe do that middle of the year with the trajectory potentially of both those teams. Week six, we'll skip all the way there. Lions at Chiefs. Oh, I like that. Bears at Commanders on Monday, October 13th. You get Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. That was the Hail Mary game last year, right, where the dopey Bears corner was celebrated, and then Jaden Daniels had that touchdown in the end zone. Other games that stand out, week nine, Chiefs and Bills. Can I give a hot take?
You? Never.
I'm going to give a hot take here. Don't get me wrong. People will care about Chiefs-Bills. I do not care if the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season. They have beat the Chiefs in the regular season multiple times. They have never beat them in the postseason. So the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season. What's supposed to be my take? They've done it like at least three times now. So go do it when it matters in the postseason. Eagles at Packers Monday night. Oh, too bad that game is that angry?
So
Brazil.
That's a big game.
Well, yeah, I know why. Where is that game being played?
That's at Lambeau.
Is it at Lambeau? Why did I think that was a location, a funky location game? Can we look up if Eagles and Packers? I know it was in Brazil last year. For some reason, I feel like that game is not at Lambeau. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But too bad that game isn't in Philadelphia, because you'd have the Philadelphia fans. LaFleur, you're a weak. You know why I can't say what I want to say on the radio? It begins with a P. But you know what? They would be going after LaFleur.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Exactly.
And by the way, Samter gets in my ear and he's like, were you about to call him putty cat? No, I was never going to use that language. Never, would never speak like that. But it is
in Lambeau, by the way.
Oh, it is Lambeau. Okay. So it's a tush push game. Ooh. Eagles fans traveling to Lambeau with those nice fans. Could get a little bit rowdy. Could get a little bit rowdy there. Lions and Eagles week 11. What, did Greg just highlight every Eagles game?
Mine are the stars.
No, Lions and Eagles is tremendous.
They are the defending champions, so there's going to be a lot of them.
Yes, going up against the paper champions, the Detroit Lions, you know, who just claimed the trophy before even find their way to get to an NFC championship game. Packers at Lions, that's Thanksgiving, 1 o'clock. Chiefs at Cowboys on Thanksgiving, that's the 4:30 game. Oh, that's a fun one. Here's why. People love to see the Cowboys get smashed on Thanksgiving. People also love to root against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be who do you root for in a spot like that. Friday, Bears at Eagles. You guys' mics are on, just by the way, just letting you know. Friday, Bears at Eagles, 3 p.m. Eastern on Amazon Prime. So you get Caleb Williams up against Jalen Hurts. Bengals at Bills, week 14. That's a good game. That could be a potential playoff preview. Packers at Bears late in the season on December 20th. That's a fun one. Eagles at Commanders. That's a rematch of the NFC Championship week 16. Week 17, Lions at the Vikings. Love that. That's a Thursday, Christmas Day. These are all Christmas Day. Cowboys at Commanders, good. Broncos at Chiefs. So Gallo will either be happy or miserable on Christmas. Sunday, Eagles at the Bills, December 28th. That's a good one. Week 18, Commanders at the Eagles, Chargers at the Broncos, Lions at the Bears, Packers at the Vikings. I think we did like the whole Eagles schedule there. So I'll ask you this simple question. We'll go around the room here. We'll start with Stu. Give me a team that you're fascinated by in the NFL this year with the schedule coming on out tonight.
So my team, I would say the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, they had a very good year with Sam Darnold as their quarterback last year. I think, you know, importing a rookie, I know he's going to be technically not a rookie, second-year quarterback, but he will be a rookie for all intents and purposes. I'm curious to see what they do, especially in a tough division, a lot of talent around McCarthy. So I think the Vikings are a team that could either be, you know, a 10-11 win team or maybe even less than that if McCarthy isn't what they think he is.
Okay, good answer. Santa, what do we got?
I think I'm going to go with the Bengals. Between everything going on with Trey Hendrickson, the money they just gave to T. Higgins, they were so good individually last year, but still only had 9 wins. They're either a Super Bowl contender or Zach Taylor's getting fired, right? So it's going to be so interesting to see where they land. Are they 9-8 again, or are they going to win 14 games, which wouldn't surprise me either. So, like, they could be anywhere between 9 wins and 14 wins.
I'm going to say the 49ers. Brock Purdy is eventually going to get paid. They lost a lot this offseason. And that's a team that's getting older, and you wonder if their window has closed. They should be a wild card team. I don't view them right now as a Super Bowl contender, but I'll be curious at the end of the year, do they miss the playoffs again, or do we look at them as a team? I don't want to say it shocked us all, because it's not like crazy if that team goes on a run, but if that's a team that ends up finding a way to get back to a Super Bowl and then end up hoisting up that Lombardi trophy. Alrighty, we will take a break. When we come on back, it is a Take 5 Wednesday. We will get to that, and we're talking quarterbacks next.
The football season might be over.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
But don't you worry. There are still rankings to be made.
Yabba dabba doo!
So get ready as Zach gives you his top five in this week's special edition of Take Five Wednesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff.
Time for a little Take Five Wednesday. By the way, is EJ Stewart still on vacation? Just wondering.
He just started his vacation yesterday, I believe.
No, he has to be more than that. No, I think he's been out here Monday this week,
and
he left.
He was here Monday and left Tuesday.
Okay, I'm not slamming him for going on vacation, but I used to have this problem, and I don't anymore. You're on vacation. Unplug. He just tweeted out, just watching the Thunder Nuggets game from last night. Them boys are hooping. Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going band for band with something special. Like, enjoy your vacation, EJ. All right? Unplug a little bit. We don't need you watching every single NBA game and being all plugged in and tweeting about it. You have a problem with what I'm saying?
I mean, this is coming from the guy who sends me texts. You could be away for 3 days, and inevitably I get a text like, hey, could you post this or that? And I don't mind doing
different.
It, but you're like, on your vacations, you're doing
different.
More work than anybody who's like actually working.
No. Publicly, I may not be doing work. Like, I'm detaching myself from social media unless if I'm posting about some food that I ate on vacation or a concert I went to. But I just like to have a few checks and balances with my staff when I'm out, because it may be a vacation for me. It's not a vacation for you guys until you guys take your vacation. So I'm just making sure that you're working still and you're alert and plugged in even when I'm away. It's like I don't want there to be a vacation from the show, though. Yeah, yes, but I don't want it to be any like substitute teacher action or anything like that. Like when I'm away and Samter and Stu are just sitting here slobbering over soccer and not paying attention to whoever's filling
in. And we're jumping on the table, throwing spitballs. It's great. We love substitute teacher.
Like when Sean Levine is hosting or Linnell Willingham, I want you guys to be attentive. So I just keep you on your toes a little bit. Anyway. Take Five Wednesday. Here's the topic today. This is not for elite quarterbacks. So I don't want to hear, oh, what about Lamar? Or what about Josh Allen? Or what about Joe Burrow? Top five interesting quarterbacks entering this season that aren't elite quarterbacks in the NFL. In at number five, Justin Herbert. Last year, that team made the playoffs. Last year, that team did go further than I expected them to. But in the postseason, you had a winnable game and your quarterback was just god-awful. And now you have year two with Jim Harbaugh. It was a good, solid foundation year one. Now I need to see Justin Herbert start to look like a top seven quarterback in the league and not just be based off reputation, actually have tangible proof on the field. In at number four, it's Shedeur Sanders. I don't know when Shedeur is going to start games this year for the Cleveland Browns, but he will start games at some point this year for the Cleveland Browns. And whenever he plays, it's going to be the biggest thing that we talk about that week. I guarantee it. In number three, Trevor Lawrence. It's another coach for you. Trevor Lawrence survived Urban Meyer. Trevor Lawrence had a solid first year with Dougie P and Doug Peterson. Now he's on a new coach in Mr. Duval and Liam Cohen. He needs to have a changing year. You need to have a franchise-altering year for Trevor Lawrence, or else people are going to look at him and say, yeah, that dude, another one of these generational quarterbacks, that's been fine, but not as good as he was hyped up to be, or nowhere close to being as good as he was hyped up to be. And at number two, Caleb Williams. I wanted to put him one, but the next guy that I'm going with the number one spot, I just couldn't move him off that number one spot. Caleb Williams had an underwhelming rookie season. Wasn't horrible, but he wasn't the best rookie quarterback, and that was another generational quarterback that we were told about for years. But now you have no more excuses. They went out there, even in the draft, they drafted you a new tight end, a new wide receiver. You already got Roma Dunze, I think will bounce back this year. You got DJ Moore, and you got the brightest offensive mind in the market to coach your team in Ben Johnson. They revamped your offensive line, bringing in Joe Tooney, Jonah Jackson, and Drew Dahlman. No excuses for Caleb Williams this year. I put him at number two. And then in at number one, it's Brock Purdy. Because if he gets paid, there's a ton of pressure to live up to that contract. If he doesn't get paid, it's can you prove that you're worth what you want to get paid by NFL teams, especially the 49ers. And also the 49ers have lost some talent, and they've had to shed some salary to eventually probably give out this new deal that they will inevitably give out to Brock Purdy. But we're starting to think, okay, is this Niners window starting to slam shut? Brock Purdy, if he is all that, then he'll be able to elevate that team this year. So those are my top five non-elite quarterbacks that I'm most interested in. Not who's the best, but I'm most interested in for this season. How we'll be talking about the end of the season. Justin Herbert in at five. Shedeur Sanders. Do the Shedeur Sanders. Huh. In at number four. Trevor Lawrence in at three. Caleb Williams in at number two. And then the number one spot, Brock Purdy. Samter, turn away from the soccer and speak now or forever hold your peace.
Oh, let's go. Goal! Oh, wait. So I'm sorry. Sorry about that. My fault. I'm going to start with your guy who everyone is fawning over, Drake May, who looked good but not great last year. Now there's all these people, you know, hyping him up. So what about your guy, Drake May?
Yeah. Here's my problem. I think the Patriots will be improved this year. I think the train is back on the track and it's starting to move. I don't think it's moving at a crazy train speed. I still think it's going very slowly. I do think some of the praise for the Patriots has gone overboard, if I'm being quite frank. The Patriots still have offensive line concerns, even though I like the draft pick of Will Campbell at fourth overall. And they brought in Stephon Diggs. I saw Stephon Diggs in at the Knicks game the other night. You know, when is he going to be a full go for the Patriots? I know they brought in the man that doesn't like to wear shoes in Matt Collins, who's a solid player. But I'm still looking at this offense, and I don't love the weapons and the line, even though they made a lot of good defensive moves this offseason. So I don't think it's a make-or-break year for Drake May because he impressed people in year one. Obviously, he needs to take it to a different level this year. But I still think that the Patriots are a little far away from where the praise actually is right now.
How about J.J. McCarthy? The Vikings spurned Aaron Rodgers for your boy from Michigan, J.J. McCarthy, coming off that injury.
You know what? That's an egregious miss.
Yeah.
That's why we do checks and balances here. You know what? I would take off Herbert off this list if I could redo it. I would slot Shedeur to five, Trevor Lawrence to three, Trevor Lawrence into four, J.J. in at three, Caleb Williams at two, and then Brock Purdy one. You know, it's easily J.J. Because you look at J.J. McCarthy, that team made Sam Darnold look good. And I think J.J. McCarthy's better than Sam Darnold. And that's a damn good division. Yeah, J.J.'s got to be on that list. That's hand up. That's a bad job by me. I'd swap Herbert out. Shedeur down to five. Trevor Lawrence down to four. J.J. in at three. Caleb two. Brock Purdy one. Top five non-elite quarterbacks that I'm most interested in this year.
Well, I'm going to go with the former number one overall pick, Bryce Young, who looked like a lost cause and now kind of resurgent. I'm super excited to see what he might be, especially now that they gave him some weapons and Tet McMillan. Mm-hmm. T-Mac. We can't call him Tet.
Come on. Don't be disrespectful to his mama.
I apologize. But I'm intrigued to see what he can do. Is he actually going to be a legitimate number one overall pick starting quarterback, or is he kind of like a flop?
So I'm not saying I'm not intrigued, but with him having a good saving season last year, I just don't think it's top five intrigue. I think people look at me like, he's fine. Now he needs to prove that he can be a franchise quarterback, but the other guys are just more intriguing to me because even if Bryce Young has a really good season, does anyone think the Panthers are going anywhere? Probably not. You know, maybe at best they're the third best team in that division. I would say, right, the Bucs are better on paper, and also when you look at that division inside the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons would also be better on paper as well.
Well, speaking of those Falcons, your boy BPE, Big Penix Energy.
Oh, I was like, who the heck is Big PE?
BPE, Big Penix Energy. I mean, A, with Kirk Cousins over his shoulder, the Falcons are probably the favorites, if not, you know,
Kirk
the favorites
Cousins
for the
over
division.
His shoulder, but he may be limping while he's walking over his shoulder.
He may or may not even be there, but if he is there, there's a lot of pressure on Penix that they went to him, that they drafted him, and that there's actually expectation on the Falcons to win that division this year.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there's not intrigue. We just haven't seen a full season of him yet. So, like, I'm not saying he's out of sight, out of mind, because he played towards the end of the season. But the other guys on the list, Shedeur with the fall is just a more compelling story. Trevor Lawrence with the contract and a new coach, more compelling story. J.J. McCarthy, right, similar spot. But I think there's more expectations for the Vikings. And then, right, you look at Caleb Williams and Brock Purdy, just they're on, I would say, better teams right now than the Vikings. You know, for the Bears and the Niners, than I would say when you look at the Atlanta Falcons. So Falcons always have that aura that something's going to go wrong. But man, there's intrigue, just not top five intrigue for me.
28-3. The last one.
You don't have to call this. Say it openly. Scream it. Get up on the table and scream it, Santa.
No, I'm a Jet fan. It was in my throat right there. The last one for me really is whether or not this guy could become literally one of the elite of the elite top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Jaden Daniels. Was his rookie year flash in the pan? Is he going to be a good player that kind of levels off like CJ Stroud did? Or is he taking that next level, that next step to be like elite, elite, top three, top four, top five quarterbacks in the NFL?
I thought you were going to say Stroud or Love. I think there's expectations on Love. Right, and then
they're boring to me. I know it sounds, but Love and Stroud, they bore me. I have no interest in them.
Now, folks, you just had a Jet fan who hasn't had a quarterback.
Let's go, Justin Fields. Come on,
Mark Sanchez is the most successful quarterback he's had in the last 20 years.
Two AFC title games,
and he's saying CJ Stroud bores him, and Jordan Love bores him.
They're very good players, but they're not interesting to me.
Samter, you would crawl from here to LaGuardia to go pick up either of those quarterbacks to be the quarterback of your team.
In a heartbeat. But from a personality standpoint, they're just, from an intrigue standpoint, I'm just not intrigued by them.
That's fine.
They're very good quarterbacks. I would take them in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so I don't think that I look at really CJ Stroud all that differently. Where in year one, to answer your question on why I'm not putting Daniels there, in year one, CJ Stroud, people said it was the greatest rookie season we've ever seen from a quarterback. And then last year, his line stunk. Every wide receiver got hurt. And people held it against him, but then come playoff time or in the offseason, I think everyone came around and be like, oh, the circumstance wasn't that great. So Jaden Daniels, don't get me wrong, is viewed as where CJ Stroud was viewed last year, but now even more, because Daniels had a better rookie season than Stroud. I just don't think we're crushing Jaden Daniels if he plays like how CJ Stroud did last year, which was still, you made the playoffs and win a playoff game. So if there is some regression, I'm okay with that. Because it's not going to be what you saw in year one each and every year. So that's why I didn't put Jaden Daniels on the list. Alrighty, that will do it for a Take 5 Wednesday on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will come on back. We'll look at the NBA games tonight. I will also ask the crew a question. And I also got maybe the greatest Ask the Pros question we've ever received in the history of this program. So we'll get to all that on the other side. Update time first here, Zach. Alright, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So Sports Illustrated put out this list. Channels and streaming services that you need to watch every NFL game in 2025. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 apps that you need to watch every NFL game. I think this list is a little misleading for one part. So if you get 9 out of the 10, I would consider it a success for you guys. Like in terms of getting the whole list, because there's a technicality here, which I think is kind of bullcrap when you look at the 10 that are listed. Do you think you guys could get every app that you need to watch every NFL game this year? If you just have to start labeling them off.
I think so.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we would have, we're including like the cable ones too, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
ESPN app.
All right, that's one.
Paramount.
So CBS, yeah. That's two.
Mm-hmm. Fox.
That's three.
Peacock.
NBC, yep, that's four.
Yep.
Sorry. NBC.
And Peacock, they're separate.
If you could get 8 and 10, 8 out of 10, then I give you credit.
Okay.
Because there's an NBC one, there's a Peacock one. So you got 5.
Okay, there's probably an NFL blanket one, like NFL Network for the London games.
Stu, NFL Network, very good.
Amazon Prime for the Thursday night games.
Yep. All righty. So you need to get 3 more. One is an egregious miss that you haven't said it yet.
There's one that I know of.
The Netflix for the Christmas game.
There you go.
Yep. You still are missing an egregious one. You missed one of the networks.
CBS, Fox.
You didn't say Fox yet.
I didn't say Fox. Oh, I thought I did. Okay. Fox yes.
So you got one more. Well, there's technically two more, but one, it's a technicality like NBC and Peacock. There's one that you haven't named that you're going to.
Is there a Disney Plus situation with the.
Kind of. There's an ESPN Plus, and then there's an ESPN on ABC.
I see.
You would never get.
Now, are we also thinking Nickelodeon, maybe? They had their Nickelodeon game?
No, Nickeldonian, as Mad Dog Russo would say. Nickeldonian is not listed there, but I think that's because it's via CBS or something like that, how they produce it. And also, it's to just watch every game. That game is on a major, that's a production that's airing on a different network. There's one more that you guys haven't got. And what? This is This is now this one is an egregious error when you hear it.
Oh, wow. Really?
Egregious.
Huh. I might be stumped. And because I remember the Brazil game last year
So here's what you got. CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN on ABC, Peacock, Prime, NFL Network, Netflix, ESPN Plus. This is from Sports Illustrated. To watch every channel or streaming service you need to watch every NFL game in 2025.
Oh, like YouTube TV.
Bingo.
For the...
Yeah, look at Stu!
YouTube was where I was going to go with. I don't think YouTube is an egregious miss, but it's a business.
Yeah, it kind of is.
That's where they moved Red Zone to, and that's where they moved the Sunday Ticket to.
I get it. I'm just saying, like, Fox, CBS, NBC is an egregious miss. YouTube, Amazon, Netflix are the ones that, like, you know.
YouTube now is what
YouTube.
Sunday Ticket was. You got it. You eventually got it. That's pretty good. You got it.
I should have gotten it quicker, though. I was trying way too hard there.
You got NBC and Peacock. All right? I would have just been like NBC, and then if you would have made me say Peacock, I would have never ended up getting that one. All right. Let me get to our Ask the Pros question of the day. I need your guys' microphones on. Because I need an immediate answer. I need an immediate take, immediate answer. Like, usually I'm supposed to answer this question.
Sure.
We're going Samter first, then Stu. The minute I read this question, I need the answer. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Moist Mike ISN, who is Mr. Psych Mamter, he says, well, first off, I'm going to do the rest of the read, then do the question, and then I want the answer. So... you can submit a question by tweeting at INS Sports Editor, at Zach Gelb's, hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's the question. Zach, your show is great, but how much better could it be if your producers worked instead of watching soccer all day? Hashtag Ask the Pros. Samter, we go to you first.
I'm way better of a producer because I watch soccer. I'm constantly energized, full of energy, pumped up, excited, paying attention to sports while I'm also listening to you. We're going all different things, and we add soccer to the show, which, while you're not a big soccer fan, it is the largest sport in the world, yeah. So we're capturing a different audience that might normally listen to you. You're welcome.
Okay, Stu, answer?
I'm happier when I have soccer on, so it brightens the mood, let's just say that.
Because this industry has really thrived off producers' happiness. Hunter Mang, is this a real quote? Because you have the PGA Championship starting tomorrow. No hype around this PGA Championship, besides this quote. I guess I would say Quail Hollow is like a Kardashian. It's very modern, beautiful, and well-kept, but it lacks a solar character. Samter, can you find a way to transcribe this for me? Like, what does he mean by that?
What he's trying to say is that the Kardashians are vapid and shallow and have no substance or depth to them outside of their external beauty. And that's kind of what Quail Hollow is. It looks pretty, but it's not really like a very... there's no, like, character and no soul.
Well, I mean
to the...
in golf terms, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it looks pretty, but it's just kind of very just... hey, here's aesthetically pretty. There's probably no like really interesting, unique angles and courses. And
we kind of consider the Kardashians and the Jenners one, right? Like the Jenners get grouped into the Kardashians.
Yeah, but you know,
I don't know.
Not anymore for me. At least.
After seeing Kendall and Kylie Jenner walk right past me at Madison Square Garden the other night, they are beautiful and definitely well kept, and I thought they had tremendous. Character and a tremendous personality. That's just me when I was in the presence of them for about 5 seconds. That was just me. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, PGA Championship, I've been hearing a lot of analysis on it, even though there hasn't been a lot of buzz. Feels like how well you are off the tee is going to determine this tournament. So I'm going with the big bomber in Bryson DeChambeau. I'll have him win the PGA Championship. Games tonight. NBA, two closeout spots. We'll see what transpires. Knicks and Celtics, I have like a 55% confidence that the Knicks are going to win this game. I think this is 55-45 just for this game tonight, but I do lean towards the Knicks. I don't think the Celtics are going to win this series. I don't think they could win three straight games without Jason Tatum. I'll be curious, though. Remember after game 3, Jalen Brunson kind of undressed his team at the podium in a polite way. but he said we were up 2-0 and we got subconsciously like complacent. I don't think that's why the Knicks would lose tonight. So maybe you got a killer instinct from the Knicks tonight after what was a tremendous game four victory. And Warriors and Timberwolves, here's what I'm looking for. No Steph Curry, it stinks. It would be awesome if Steph Curry could get on back for a game six and you have it 3-2, it would be intrigue. But I do think the Timberwolves will end up winning this series. I would love to see Draymond have another freak out tonight and cry like the little baby that he is. Oh, I would love that. I would love to see a Warriors loss and Draymond and Jimmy Butler just sit there crying on the bench. That would be great. Because Steph is the most likable player in the NBA, one of the most likable athletes ever. Draymond Green, insufferable this year. Jimmy Butler, insufferable this year. So without Steph, unfortunately, because of the injury, it would be nice for those two guys to just cry and freak out and lose their mind. So that's what I'm looking for tonight in the NBA. Anyway, that will do it for a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to Soccer Stu. Big thanks to Soccer Samter for tuning into this program. Greg Frank, also training. Big thanks to Ack as well. And most importantly, a big thank you to each and every one of you, however you do consume our radio program, whether it's on one of our Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, or streaming on YouTube. Also like to thank Christian Benford for joining us from the Buffalo Bills and Ryan Hot Take Hickey. Santa, you're a Gallo claimed him handsome? That was Hickey's subject today? Why was that?
I said, Gallo, give me one word to describe Hickey. He said handsome. I said, okay, there it is.
So that's what you wrote today. Alrighty. I would give two words. Wrong takes. Anyway, we out. Bye-bye. Talk tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific time. Peace.